I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today on It's a Good Life, we continue our study in the book of Romans. Last time we looked at Romans 1, verses 1 and 2, and it says there, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And now we pick up with verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And of course, that last section is verse 4. Well, what is the gospel all about? It says there, as declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, the gospel concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, according to verse 3. The gospel is a Christ-centered gospel. There is no other gospel apart from that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:9 says, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So it's the gospel of the Son of God. And apart from the person and work of Christ, there is no gospel. And the Bible bears this out and mentions this on several areas. It's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says there, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Any preaching that is not Christ-centered is not true gospel preaching. The true gospel is a Christ-centered gospel. And God gives very strong warnings, and we see this in the Scriptures once again, the very strong warnings concerning those who preach any other gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 speak of that. Well, when we think of the person of Christ, we should think especially of two things. First of all, his humanity. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 1, it says, Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, he was made flesh. And John chapter 1, verse 14 talks about that. It says he was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made flesh of the seed of David according to the word of God. And Christ was in the kingly line, a descendant of David. And why did God become a man? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 helps us with this question. It says there, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. He came into this world to seek and to save me, a person who was lost on his way to hell. Jesus died for me. And for me to accept that meant that I would no longer be destined for hell, but I chose Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. And I pray that you've done the same thing today. If you have not, may you bow your heart right now where you're at and say, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my innermost being as much as I know how, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Once again, Hebrews 2:9 says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Can you imagine the one who created everything made a little lower than the angels. He came to suffer death, and it goes on to say, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, by the grace of the Father, God the Father. Well, we see his humanity, and we also see Christ's deity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He became a man, but he never ceased being God. And the term Son of God points to the full deity of Christ. And this is how the Jews of the first century understood the term. In John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This infuriated the Jew, because he was making himself equal with God. How could he do that? Because he was God. He is God. The Jews were baffled by our Lord's question in Matthew chapter 22, verses 45 and 46, which is simply this. How can David's son also be David's Lord? And Paul answers this question in Romans 1, 3 through 4. In his humanity, according to the flesh, he is the son of David, Romans 1, 3. In his deity, he is the son of God, Romans 1, 4. And thus, he is David's Lord. His resurrection was the final proof that he was everything that he claimed to be. He did not become God at the incarnation or at his birth. Nor did he become the Son. The incarnation was the point at which God's eternal Son assumed our humanity without ceasing to be God. And the Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12 speaks of this, as well as Galatians 3:26. We see also that Christ in these verses is declared to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection. Romans 1:4 speaks of that. The resurrection was the final proof that Jesus Christ was everything he claimed to be. Romans 1:4 once again says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And we read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 39, it says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And verse 39 says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was that sign? Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish. And Jesus said, you're not going to receive any other sign other than the representation that Jonah was in that belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And what was he speaking of? He was speaking of his death. He was speaking of the fact that he would go to the grave and he would be there 3 days and three nights and he would rise from the dead just as Jonah came out of that great fish or whatever you want to call that thing that swallowed him. As he was disobeying God, and of course Christ did not disobey the Father. He went to the grave and he did rise on that third day. And Jesus said, you're looking for a sign. And so many people today are looking for signs and wonders. But there is no sign or wonder going to be given them except one of two things. The first thing that a lot of people see today are the things that the devil has placed there to give them a false idea of what salvation really is. They seem to give the idea that salvation is the good feeling or doing something in order to gain salvation. But Jesus said that's not the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And no sign or wonder is going to be performed other than that of the death, burial, and resurrection of me, the Son of God. And that's what he's speaking of there. No sign is going to be given other than that I have been buried and I am resurrected. And I came out of that grave, the resurrection from the dead by the power of God. Romans 1:4 once again talks about power. In the Old Testament, whenever God wanted to point out His great power, He pointed to the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. You see that in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 8, Exodus 32:11, Deuteronomy 4:37, 2 Kings 17 and verse 36, and so forth. We do not find this in the New Testament. Today, when God wants to point out His mighty power, He draws our attention to the resurrection, the empty tomb. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 speaks of this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. When God wants us to see His love, He points us to the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's in the book of John. Well, we see that it's by the power of God that anyone is saved today or at any other time. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Well, to whom should the gospel be preached? Paul's answer in verse 5 is to all nations. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19, Luke 24:47, Acts 1:8 says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall receive power to become witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And those other verses that I mentioned tells us that we are to go forth and proclaim the gospel. Note the term grace in verse 5 of Romans 1. This refers to God's undeserved favor and unmerited kindness. Paul, saved, an apostle, only by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10 says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you know Christ today as your Savior? Have you trusted Him? Have you trusted in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Would you bow your head where you're at? Now, you don't have to bow your head. If you're in a car listening to this, you can speak to the Lord. He's going to hear you. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I believe the gospel. If you'll ask Him the best you know how, the Lord will save you today. And my prayer for you is that you will know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's been good being with you today. Next time, we'll pick up where we left off in the book of Romans chapter 1. Look at our website today, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.